From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from the Bell House in beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. Ask Me Another. I'm guest musician Julian Villard. And now, here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Julian. It's so nice to have you back. Nice to see you.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We have a great show for you, everybody. I'm so happy to see you all here. We have four brilliant contestants. They're backstage right now wondering if flip-flops are okay for radio or at all. And soon they'll be up here playing our nerdy games. And, of course, one of them will be our big winner. We have two amazing comedians. They host a great pop culture podcast called Las Culturistas, Bowen Yang and Matt Rogers. Bowen Yang also writes for Saturday Night Live, or as I like to call it, Sunday Morning YouTube. And as part of their podcast and live show, Las Culturistas, they will complain and have other comedians complain about culture and stuff in general. It's a segment called I Don't Think So, Honey. And so I have a few of my own that I'd like to share. I don't think so, honey. People who say that I have a face for radio. I don't think so, honey. Dating sites that match you based on what you both like. That is not how you make a match. A match is made by shared hatred. That's what makes a match. Right? You both like Italian movies and baking shows? Who cares? You both hate fennel and jazz? That's gonna last. That's a real relationship. And let's just say, social media, I know it serves a great purpose, but man, it's scientifically proven that it makes all of us feel pretty bad. I have a hard time with Instagram right now because it's everybody's selfies on the beach. They're hot beach selfies. I can't go to the beach. I've been told that, you know, because of my skin, I should never be in the sun. So my beach look is basically orthodox or at least a swimsuit that screams, it's 1918 and my fiance's at war. Later in the show, Anna Roisman, who hosts HQ Words, is going to be joining us. Yeah. How many HQ players are here? How many people play HQ? Yeah? All right, all right. We have a great show. Let's play some games, everybody. Yeah. Our first game is about the moon. Did you know in Apollo 11, three men flew to the moon, but only two set foot on it? It's true. That's right. Michael Collins just looked out the window and went, eh, I'm good. Let's meet our contestants. First up, Mike Raciapa. You're an account manager at a tech company that uses advanced AI. Ooh. And you used to act and worked at an English-themed theme park in Korea.
I did, yeah. It was called the Gyeonggi English Village.
Yeah.
And basically, they were placed all over Korea so that students and, you know, young people or families that were learning English but had no place to use it without traveling could use it in an immersive environment. And I was hired as one of their edutainers.
Yeah. Mike, when you ring in, we'll hear this. Your opponent is Alisa O'Shea. You're a multimedia designer, and you used to collect Pez dispensers.
Yes.
And you've passed this down to your child, who also collects Pez dispensers.
Yes. And he had a great score. He just came back from a camping trip, and he got most of the peanuts from 1964. He got, he got Peppermint Patty, Lucy, Snoopy, and Woodstock, but we didn't get Charlie Brown. So, we're missing one.
And so how much does a sort of vintage Pez go for?
We looked one up and it was worth like $6.
Cool. Cool. All right. Alisa, when you ring in, we'll hear this. Mike and Alisa, whoever has more points after two games will go to our final round. In this game, we'll pretend you're on a romantic midnight stroll, gazing up at the sky, trying to impress your date with facts about the moon. It's called Fly Me to the Permanent Natural Satellite.
Your date does their best impression of Jimmy Stewart and says,
I'll give you the moon. Oh, this is a terrible Jimmy Stewart. I'm sorry. I'll give you the moon. I'll throw a lasso around and pull it down. You'd say they need a pretty big lasso because the equatorial circumference of the moon is roughly equal to what? A, the width of Texas, B, the width of Russia, or C, 400,000 Jimmy Stewarts laid head to toe. Alisa.
B, Russia?
That is correct. The circumference of the moon is about 6,800 miles, which is close to the width of Russia.
Your date is saying that they want to get away from it all. You suggest a romantic trip to the moon by saying, A, let's forget time. Your wind-up wristwatch won't work up there anyway. B, are you sick of mundane everyday chores? Good news, you can't use a cordless vacuum on the moon. Or C, let's get lost in each other's eyes, literally, because your magnetic compass won't work up there. Mike.
A?
I'm sorry, that is incorrect, but good guess. Alisa, can you steal?
C?
C, the magnetic compass won't work up there. That is correct, yeah. The moon's magnetic field is very weak compared to the Earth's. The moon doesn't have magnetic poles like the Earth does.
Your date says the moon's spherical shape inspired them to invite you to a baseball game. What do you say? A, actually, it's shaped more like an egg. B, actually, it's shaped more like a hockey puck. Or C, actually, it's shaped like your backside as you walk away forever. Alisa.
I'm going to go for the hockey puck. B?
No, that is incorrect. Mike, can you steal?
A, the egg.
You are correct, Mike. It is shaped like an egg. All right, this is your last clue. You notice your date has been checking Tinder this whole time. What do you say? A, speaking of dating, did you know uranium-lead dating revealed that the moon is about 4.5 billion years old? B, speaking of swiping right, did you know the moon rotates clockwise on its axis as seen from the Earth's North Pole? Or C, did you know NASA invented a Tinder-like app for lonely astronauts called Blastoff? Mike.
B.
That is not correct. The moon rotates counterclockwise. Alisa, would you like to steal?
A.
That is correct. Ophira, how did that game wind up?
Great game. Alisa is in the lead. Our next game is called Classical Power Chords. Each clue is two audio clips. The first is a piece of classical music. The second is a pop song influenced by the classical piece. Each piece of music you identify is worth 1 point, and you can tell me the artist or the title. So, Alisa, stay in the lead, and you are in the final round. Mike, you need to get more points, or Vivaldi's Four Seasons will turn into two seasons. Climate change. Here we go. This clue combines a 19th century German composer and a 20th century rapper.
Boys and girls, listen up. You can be anything in the world, and God we trust in architect.
Alisa.
Beethoven.
That's right. Yeah, well, the first clip was Beethoven. Do you want to go for the second clip, Alisa?
I'm coming up blank. I'm sorry.
Okay. Mike, can you add anything to this?
Nothing.
Okay. So that was Ludwig van Beethoven's Feuerlies and Nas, I Can.
A classic.
We couldn't.
You guys couldn't, but we can. Here's a piece from a Polish-born piano composer and an English rock band.
Wake from your sleep.
Alisa.
Don't know the first one, but Radiohead is the second one?
Yeah, Radiohead is the second one.
Can I take a guess? Chopin?
Yes, you got it right. Good job. Yes, that was Prelude No. 4 in E minor. And of course, Radiohead exit music for a film. All right, this pairing begins with a 19th century Austrian composer and ends with a rock duo from Detroit. Mike.
Seven Nation Army?
Yes.
Is one of them.
That's correct. How about the name of the other song?
Austrian composer. I don't know why I'm saying that, because I don't know Austrian composers.
Well, just name your favorite Austrian composer.
Lady Gaga.
Okay. Good one. Good one. Elisa, can you steal?
Stravinsky?
Sorry, that is incorrect. That was Bruckner's Symphony No. 5 in B-flat major. And of course, yes, White Stripes, Seven Nation Army. This is your last mashup. Mike.
Lady Gaga.
Yes, yes.
And Tchaikovsky?
No. But you got a point there. Elisa, can you steal?
Bach.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
All right, that was Bach's Fugue number 24 from the Well-Tempered Clavier. Well done. Tough game. You both did great. And Elisa is going to our final round. Coming up, we'll have the hosts of the pop culture podcast, Las Culturistas, Bowen Yang and Matt Rogers. They end each show with a list of complaints called I Don't Think So, Honey. So we'll find out what they have against bees. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Traditional Medicinals. Traditional Medicinals is the herbal tea company that lives up to its name. Traditional because of the formulas based on herbal traditions that have supported health and wellness for centuries. And medicinal because of the ethically sourced, high-quality herbs, like the slippery elm and echinacea in their soothing throat coat teas for those colder months. Use promo code ASK for 20% off at checkout. Powered by Traditional Medicinals. Support for NPR and the following message comes from Westin Hotels and Resorts. At Westin, their entire reason for being is your well-being, which is why their wellness offerings are curated with one thing in mind, you. An Eat Well menu crafted with fresh ingredients, an on-demand fitness gear lending program that allows you to pack light and stay fit, and their heavenly bed that helps you conquer the day by giving you a restful night. Explore at Westin.com, a member of Marriott Bonvoy.
Hey, Asma, I think it's time for a big change.
All right, what does that mean?
I think it's time to make the NPR Politics Podcast a daily podcast.
Well, we do have more than ample news. You and I are on the campaign trail, it seems like, nonstop.
And now there's an impeachment inquiry into President Trump.
So starting this week, the NPR Politics Podcast will be in your feed every weekday to keep you up to date ahead of the 2020 election.
So subscribe wherever you get your podcast, the NPR Politics Podcast, now 5 days a week.
This is Ask Me Another, NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. I'm Julian Villard. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Julian. It's time to welcome our first special guest. He co-hosts the pop culture podcast Las Culturistas, and he currently writes for Saturday Night Live. Please welcome Bowen Yang. Welcome to Ask Me Another.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Bowen, you went to NYU and have described yourself as a mediocre chemistry major.
Absolutely. Just somehow ended up with not a BS in chemistry, a BA in chemistry.
You did.
A Bachelor of Arts in chemistry. My sister was already going there. She's 2 years older than me, and I would go on all these college tours when I was thinking about where I would want to go. And at the end of each tour, I'd be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So do you guys have any improv groups? Like, I was that kid. Yeah.
Right, they're like, but you're studying science. And you were like, just curious.
Just curious, yeah.
But when you were taking chemistry and trying to decide, there was a moment where you thought you might go pre-med, mostly inspired by Sandra Oh?
By Sandra Oh. Yes. I loved Grey's Anatomy. And like, I've said that it's an example of bad representation, which is seeing someone like you, or it was double refracted representation because it was an Asian person acting, but being a doctor. And I thought I conflated the thing where I was like, oh, I want to be that, but the doctor.
Right.
Which was wrong. And then I was like, oh, no, I meant to be that, but the actor. Oh, I'll do that. Yeah.
You're like, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Take a step back.
Yep.
And then it kind of all fell into place.
Exactly. So that's what it was. But yeah.
So you recently joined Saturday Night Live as a writer.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, many people don't know this, that as a writer, you go through the same audition, you know, on-camera process.
Yeah, some of them do, yeah.
And did you do characters?
I did characters, yeah, a few times. And then they would be like, new material every time, and I'd be like, okay. And they'd be like, and just, new impressions, and I was like, I'm running out of Asian public figures.
Right.
To impersonate.
Who were you doing?
So I was really scraping the bottom of the barrel by the end. I did like Michiko Kakutani and like I thought about doing Hanya Yanagihara. Do people know her? She wrote A Little Life, yes. And she's the editor-in-chief of T, the New York Times magazine. But I would do like her, and I would do, this was right after it happened. Remember the United guy, the guy who got dragged off United?
Yes.
Did that guy. Had a little pump bottle of fake blood. And so in between setups, I think he was my last character. Like he was my closer for this audition. I took out this bottle of fake blood and I just like, did this. And I was just like, yep, no, it's cool. I get like free flight. I don't even know what I wrote.
But you were part of a sketch on a recent episode of SNL, the one where Sandra Oh hosted.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you tell her that she inspired you to study chemistry?
I think I had met her at the Golden Globes because I wrote for that, and that was the first time I met her, and she was so great. And I very drunkenly went up to her at the after party. I was like, hey, this is such a pleasure, and you're a big reason why I do this. I saw you in The Princess Diaries, and then Arliss, and then Sideways, and you know, like all this. I was like, you're incredible. And she was just so cool about it. She was like, thank you. Like all she just nodded at me and was like, that means a lot, and thank you. And she did the most Sandra thing ever, which she just looked me in my eyes and just stared at me for like 10 seconds without saying anything and was like, thank you. Yeah. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
But then she came to SNL in March and it was great. And then I got thrown into the sketch where I was playing Kim Jong-un and she was playing my translator. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so right.
It was fun. It was really fun.
You also host a podcast called Las Culturistas. And lucky for us, your co-host comedian Matt Rogers is waiting in the wings. Matt Rogers, everybody.
Hey!
Hello, Matt!
How's it going?
You two started Las Culturistas in 2016, but you met around 6 years before that at NYU.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And were you just friends immediately?
No.
No.
No? There was a degree of animosity between us because...
There was.
Bowen thought that there was something between me and this girl on our floor that he was saying he liked.
Okay.
So...
a lot of problems.
This is when we were both like closeted. Uh-huh. It happens. Uh-huh. It's happening now. So like our whole freshman year, we were kind of like very wary of each other because of like the Shermung of it all, which was her name.
Her name was Shermung.
And So then our sophomore year, he was in the improv group at NYU, and I was in the sketch comedy group at NYU.
Oh, that's like rollerbladers and skateboarders or something. Yeah,
very like that. It was the Capulet and Montague situation. And so basically our friends in the comedy group were like, be friends, like do it. And we were like, no.
Because at that point, we had come out of the closet. Ugh. And then, so we were both like, you know, these gay Barbie dolls for these people. Yeah. We're just like, you two play.
Right.
And we were like, you think we're going to be friends just because we're gay? No way. And then we were at, I think it was a Halloween party, and you were Ash Ketchum and I was Jason Stackhouse.
Yes, yes. From True Blood.
From True Blood. And we discovered from across the party that we both knew all the words to Nicki Minaj's Super Bass, which at the time...
was just a bonus track and not a single.
Got it.
So it was a deep cut.
Yeah.
And they credit Taylor Swift with making this popular because she did it in concert, but I think it was me and my sis.
I think you're right.
It was the two
of us. I think you're right.
Absolutely. I think it was us.
It was us.
Now, you end every episode of Las Culturistas with a segment called I Don't Think So, Honey.
Yeah, that's true.
Where you rant for 60 seconds about something you disagree with in pop culture or culture in general, and you also invite comics to do it.
Yes, yes.
So is there one thing that comes up all the time?
I remember getting paper straws a lot. Paper straws
is one of my favorites, because every time you use a paper straw, you're like, I don't think so, honey. But you know why it's important, and that's the conflict.
Wow. I know, exactly. Yeah. Are you ready for an Ask Me Another challenge?
Yes.
All right. So Bowen and Matt, like it or not, you've actually now officially become contestants.
Oh my God.
Yeah, whoever has the most points at the end of two games is going to move on for our final round. It's the first time we're doing this, and of course, whoever doesn't gets to go home early. So let's welcome back Julian Villar.
Julian! I just want to say, Bowen is like almost a doctor, and I am staggeringly dumb.
No.
So this is going to be...
It's not true.
Crazy.
It's not true.
You'll do great.
Okay.
Your first game is called I Do Think So, Honey.
Ooh.
We're going to read a statement about honey and bees. And it could be true or something we made up. And you're just going to ring in and say... If you think it's true, you'll say, I do think so, honey.
Okay.
And if you think it's false, you'll ring in and say, I don't think so, honey.
Okay.
Great.
But be careful, because if you answer incorrectly, your opponent automatically gets the point.
Wow.
God, Ophira.
I know. All right, here we go. Honeybees are the only insects that make honey. Matt.
That's true.
So.
Wait, what do you say?
It's your
catchphrase.
So you're going to say, I do think so, honey. So weird in that way, isn't it? I am sorry. It's false.
You're kidding.
Certain wasp and ant species make honey, too.
Oh,
come on.
Disgusting.
Oh,
disgusting.
Yeah. Disgusting.
Only male bees make honey while female bees take care of the hive. Matt.
That is true.
What do you say?
It's not true. It's false. It's false.
Oh.
Why would it be true?
Here's how it works. All the worker bees are female, including the ones who make honey. All the male bees are drones, and their only task is to mate, and the drones die immediately after mating because it's that good.
Thank you.
Archaeologists excavating pyramids in Egypt found pots of 3,000-year-old honey. Bowen.
Me? I do think so, honey.
Yes, you're right.
Okay, perfect. And...
And...
No microorganisms can grow in honey, which is why honey never spoils, and even 1,000-year-old honey is still good honey.
Exactly
right. Exactly right.
All right, how about this one? Bears really do eat honey. Matt.
False. They eat smaller animals.
It's actually true. Not only do they eat, they go after beehives, they love the honey so much, they eat the bees as well. Oh. They just eat the whole
thing. So it's like, not only are you wrong, but you're so wrong. They love it. They stand for the honey.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Most honey in the United States is produced in Utah.
I don't think so, honey.
You are right.
I don't have any addendums to that. I don't know.
Utah's nickname is the Beehive State, but it doesn't even crack the top 10. Most honey in the United States comes from North Dakota. The nickname was chosen for its symbolism of collective work.
I was distracted. Your voice is so...
Julian has such a good voice.
Oh, my God.
It's a very
everything.
Good voice.
Just focus on the game, guys.
Okay. All right. I shot my shot.
Shot a shot.
In 11th century Germany, honey was used as money. Matt?
True. Yes?
You are correct.
Yeah! I won!
You won.
That was a great game.
That was a really good game.
Wow.
And Bowen is clearly in the lead. Okay, before your second game, I want to talk to Matt Rogers for a little bit. Hi. So, Matt, you recently celebrated a birthday at Disneyland.
I love that. Like, Bowen, you work for SNL. Matt, you went to Disney World for your birthday. Yes.
But you did, right?
I did. But you know what? Actually, I make a cultural impact every time I go.
He does.
It makes a cultural impact on me. I famously have only ever been to Europe one time, but I've been to Epcot dozens of times. So it sort of works out the same. You can get amazing things when you go for your birthday.
What do you get?
Well, everyone says hello to you. Uh-huh. And that's the extent of it.
So we have another Ask Me Another challenge for you and Bowen. Now, I don't know if you're competitive, but I take it you are. We love pop divas, but obviously when they try acting, the results can be a little mixed, because for every Lady Gaga in A Star Is Born, there is Mariah Carey in Glitter. Mm.
I reject that.
Oh!
Perfect. So in this game, we're going to read a summary of a critically panned film's reviews as found on the movie website Rotten Tomatoes. We have removed the diva's name and the movie title from these descriptions.
Great.
And you are going to earn 1 point for identifying the film and 1 point for identifying the diva who stars in it.
Great.
Okay. So Bowen, stay in the lead and you're in the final round. Matt, you need to get more points or...
I'm going home.
Here we go. A notorious stinker, this film features banal songs, a witless plot, and non-existent chemistry between its American Idol-sanctioned leads. Yes, Matt?
It's from Justin to Kelly. That's starring Kelly Clarkson
yes,
and Justin Rowe.
Yes, it is. I've not seen it.
Featuring the hit song Timeless.
Yes.
Which they sang on a boat. So 3 more points for that?
Seth Rogen and this actress have enough chemistry to drive a solidly assembled comedy. Unfortunately, this film has a lemon of a script and is perilously low on comedic fuel. Bowen.
This is The Guilt Trip starring Barbara Streisand.
You are right.
Is she a pop diva?
She's a diva.
Just a diva.
She's a legendary chanteuse.
She did disco in the
pop
70s.
Pop diva, legendary chanteuse. Two different categories.
My God.
Two divas star in this movie. We're looking for the one that isn't mentioned in the summary. Campy and cliched, this movie wastes its talent cast, including a better-than-expected Christina Aguilera.
No, it's me. I was in first.
On a movie.
And she hasn't stopped. She hasn't stopped. Let her finish.
On a movie that wavers between bad and so bad it's good. Matt.
Oh, no. That would be Burlesque, Ophira. It's starring Cher.
That is
right. It's Christina Aguilera and Julianne Hough, who released a country album, so.
Oh, my God.
All right. We're going to sprinkle some points around. Don't you worry. We're going to sprinkle some points around.
As long as they all sprinkle over here, Elvira.
All right, here is the Rotten Tomatoes summary for a movie based on a board game.
Oh, no, I know it.
So I know it, too. I mean, I know it, too.
Listen, let me read the thing.
It may offer energetic escapism for less demanding filmgoers, but this movie is too loud, poorly written, and formulaic to justify its expense, and a lot less fun than its source material.
No, please.
Bowen.
Battleship starring Rihanna.
You are correct.
This film assembles an undeniably talented cast of voice actors and live-action stars, then crushes them beneath a blue mound of lowest common denominator kitty fair.
It was me.
Bowen.
That sucks.
Oh, my God. It is the Smurfs with Katy Perry.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I can't believe you wouldn't even let me have that one. You're going to win.
All right.
Oh, my God.
There's only one left, right?
So upset.
Okay.
Bizarre and clumsily plotted, this movie is a mess. As for its stars, Affleck and the lead actress lack chemistry.
No, you go.
Matt.
Geely, Jennifer Lopez.
Yes, you are correct.
They also star together in the movie Jersey Girl. Point?
Point. Yes? Give it to him. Yes. Yeah, why
Shall
not?
Shall I have a point?
Shall
That's
he?
Brilliant. Very, very close. Looks like Bowen is moving on to our final round.
Okay, you deserve it.
Las Culturistas is going on tour in August with I Don't Think So, Honey. 30 comedians take 1 minute each to go off on culture. Give it up for Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang. Speaking of tours in September, Ask Me Another is heading to Texas and taping shows in 4 cities. But Houston, we have a problem. We need contestants. If you're around Dallas, San Antonio, Austin, or Houston, go to amatickets.org and apply to be a contestant on our Texas tour. Coming up, I'll be joined by another female comedian slash trivia host, HQ's Anna Roisman. We'll join forces, and maybe with two of us, men will stop correcting us. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Discover. The traditional first anniversary gift is paper. Most couples aren't gifting each other stationery, but Discover is following this anniversary tradition for its new card members. At the end of your first year, Discover will match all the cash back you earned dollar for dollar. No caps and no catch. That's a paper anniversary gift in the form of a cash back bonus. Learn more at discover.com/match. Cashback match offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Gelmar, maker of CLR. For some of life's mucky moments, there's CLR. From soap scum to bicycle rust, CLR gets rid of household grime using natural ingredients, not harsh chemicals. It even carries the EPA's Safer Choice seal. Use it to dissolve calcium, lime, and rust all around your house. Go to clrbrands.com today to learn more about how to keep your piece of the planet muck-free. CLR, making the world a little cleaner.
Emmy, Grammy, Tony, and Oscar winner John Legend has a saying, luck is just opportunity meeting preparation.
By the time I was in that room with Lauryn Hill, I was ready for her to hear me. By the time I was in that room with Kanye, I was ready for him to hear me.
John Legend on the secret to his continued success. Next time on It's Been a Minute from NPR.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Julian Villard. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Julian. In our next game, we'll make fun of well-regarded plays. Bertolt Brecht is about to get Bertolt wrecked. Let's meet our next two contestants. First up, Alice Kors, you're an actor and you're obsessed with magic.
Yeah.
So am I.
Really?
Yes. Do you try doing any tricks?
I have a magic kit in my desk at work.
Sure you do. Yeah.
It is a children's magic set.
Does it have like a wand and
it
some
has
cards?
A wand. I'm going to reveal a trick. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, it's a secret. So don't tell anyone.
Great.
But the way they do the like pulling the scarves out of your hand is it's a fake thumb. And I didn't know until I opened the box.
Does the fake thumb, does it sit okay on your thumb?
No, it is also not my skin tone.
Fantastic. All right, Alice, when you ring in, we'll hear this. Your opponent is Max Newman. You're studying political science and government at Columbia University, and you love debating.
Kind of a lot, yeah. I've been doing it for about 7 years, and it's taught me how to talk fast and how to not acknowledge when I'm wrong.
Yeah. Important skills for someone studying government.
Yeah.
Max, when you ring in, we'll hear this. All right, remember, Alice and Max, whoever has more points after two games will go to our final round. So the Tony separates plays and musicals into different awards, but today we are bringing together those two theatrical forms in a game called Put On a Happy Face.
We rewrote famous songs from musicals to make them about critically acclaimed non-musical stage plays. Each clue is worth 2 points, one if you identify the stage play, and one if you can tell me the song I'm parroting or the musical it came from. Here we go. The stage manager will tell you that you gotta treasure every moment, but you won't. There's dead folks and mourners here in Grover's Corners. You're building a set, well, don't. Alice.
Okay, so the play is Our Town by Thornton Wilder.
Correct.
And the song is Tomorrow from Annie.
Also correct. Well done.
Nice job. Added info. Gave a playwright, which we didn't expect. Oh. Enjoyed that. That was great.
Here comes the next one. This play is named for a private part. Women's experience will impart theater, politics, spoken art. This play is made for a private part. Max.
The play is The Vagina Monologues. The musical is West Side Story.
Correct, correct. All right, here's your next song. $525,600 minutes. But really, time has no meaning, that sure seems clear. See, we've been biding our time, but our friend's not coming. I guess we'll keep talking and stay right here. Alice.
So the play is Waiting for Godot, and the musical is Rent.
Correct, correct.
I remember reading Waiting for Godot and being like, what is this about? And I feel like recently I've been like, I get it. This is it. I'm in it. This is it.
I would love for you to explain that to me after the show, because I do not know. Do not know. All right, here's your next one. We're in this old saloon, because Hickey's coming soon. Well, now he's here and singing a different tune. Pipe dreams, pipe dreams. He says we don't need pipe dreams, but we really need pipe dreams. It seems pipe dreams. Max.
Guys and Dolls.
Correct.
And you can have the point for the other one. I do not know it.
Alice.
Okay. Let's see. Pipe dreams?
Yep. That is the takeaway.
Yeah. Is it?
Just go for it.
On the waterfront?
I shouldn't have told you to go for it.
Yeah. No.
But good guess.
The answer is The Iceman Cometh.
Oh, of course.
All right. This is your last clue. Sorry, King, don't mean to drop a bomb, but you killed your dad and shacked up with your mom. Now there is no more doubt, because the truth is out. So gouge your eyes your eyes. Alice.
Okay, so the play is Oedipus Rex.
Correct.
And the musical is Chicago.
Also correct.
I call the Oedipus complex all that jazz. All right, great game. Alice is in the lead. Our next game is about all the fan mail we get. It's called Too Many Letters. And here to help us play it is a very special guest. She's a comedian and she hosts HQ Words on the live game show app HQ Trivia. Please welcome Anna Roizman, everybody.
Yeah. Hi.
Hey, Anna. It's so nice to see you. Thank you for being part of the live event.
Thanks for having me. I love being live. Thank you so much. There's people here, though. I'm really nervous, you know? I don't work with people.
Yeah, what's it like to always, you know that you're going out to thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah.
Like, how do you adjust to that or just not think about it?
You don't think about it.
Yeah.
You know? It really feels like I'm FaceTiming with my mom. It's like that, but a game show with 100,000 people, right? It's the same.
Yeah.
Same feeling. You guys FaceTime, yeah. Right? You know.
And you had both of your parents come on as guests.
They have, yes. They don't have a social media presence, but they have been on, and you can find them on the internet hosting HQ.
Did you ask them, like, what your favorite thing is about, like, do they...
Yeah, I asked my mom. I was like, what do you love about HQ Words? I'm trying to, like, engage her, like, stop just staring at the page and talking like a robot. And she was like, well, I love when I turn my phone on. I just know that if you're there, you're alive. So I don't have to call her anymore. If she signs on to the game, we don't have to talk for a couple days. It's nice. She knows
that's
I'm
great.
Around.
She's like, it's 9:30. Let's see how Anna's doing.
Oh, there she is. She's breathing and she's talking. Great. So, yeah.
Anna, you host HQ Words, which is basically HQ Trivia meets Wheel of Fortune. So you are the perfect person to lead this game. It is about initialisms. And for those of you who don't know, an initialism is like an acronym, but for pedantic people.
Actually, an acronym is pronounced like a word such as NASA. You know what that is. An initialism is pronounced as individual letters like CIA, LOL, RIP, MIA. Those are my favorite. It got darker. I'm sorry. I'm not used to being IRL. Okay, so here's how this game works. Every answer is two initialisms mashed together. The first initialism is a government agency, and the second one could be anything. For example, if I said, send your tax returns to this department, and they'll have you audited by cast members Kenan Thompson and Kate McKinnon, you would answer, IRSNL. You got it? Oh, oh, the light bulbs. Look at how many went off. Yeah.
I know for a while there, they were just looking very scared, but now it's okay, right? Now it's okay?
Now
okay,
you guys feel better. Yeah, great. And because this game seems impossible by the looks of everyone's faces right now, I'm doubling the points. And because I'm from HQ, everyone's getting $200,000. Yeah, you're getting it. We're all splitting it.
In tote bags, please.
Yeah. Alice, stay in the lead and you will be in the final round. And Max, you need to get more points or you will be SOL. Ring in to answer. Here we go. This department approves the prescription drugs you'll need after you jump on your kid's trampoline and tear this ligament in your knee. Alice.
Okay, so it's the FDACL.
You got it right. This government agency tracks climate change and discounts for retired seniors. Alice.
So the EPAARP.
Oh, she got it right. She's good. Coming in hot.
This is impressive. You know, we think this game is pretty hard.
Yeah.
And you guys are kind of creaming it. Well done.
All right, we're moving on. This domestic intelligence agency is infamous for warrantless wiretapping of U.S. citizens and super slow dial-up internet connections.
NSAOL.
Ooh, you've got mail, Max.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, this federal agency will give you a grant to pursue your creative dreams, and when you realize you can't afford rent, you can go to law school and join this organization of U.S. lawyers.
It's the National Endowment for Arts and the American Bar Association, so it would be the NEABA.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah. Thanks.
That clue is what a lot of parents tell their children when they want to study arts.
All right, this is your last clue. All right, this agency is supposed to make sure we don't swear on the radio, but they're too chilled out to care thanks to this trendy ingredient derived from hemp. Alice.
The FCCBD.
She got it!
Wow. Wow and wow. Okay, so it was a really close game, but it looks like after two games, Alice is going to the final round. Big hand for Anna Royston,
thanks,
everybody. She hosts HQ Words on the live game show app HQ Trivia.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much, Anna Royston, one more time. It's time to crown our big winner. Let's bring back our finalist, Alisa O'Shea, who's in the market for a 1964 Charlie Brown Pez dispenser.
Ooh.
Alice Kors, who ruined a magic trick for our listeners. And from Las Culturistas, Bowen Yang. Okay, Bowen, Alisa, Alice. Your final round is called Chicken and Egg Problems. I'll give you a pair of events. You just tell me which came first. And our big winner will receive an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube signed by Bowen Yang and Matt Rogers.
Ooh.
I know. How otherwise could you get that? I don't know.
I couldn't get it otherwise.
So before the show, our two civilian contestants rolled a 20-sided die to determine their order, and it's going to be Bowen, Alisa, and Alice. You each get up to 5 questions. Here we go. Bowen, which came first, Wi-Fi or the show The Wire?
Oh, my God. Ooh, I'm going to say Wi-Fi.
That is correct.
Okay.
Wow. Wi-Fi 1996, The Wire 2002. Mm. Alisa, which came first, the Sony Walkman or Walker Texas Ranger?
The Sony Walkman.
That is correct. Sony Walkman 1979, Walker Texas Ranger 1993. Alice, which came first, the first Mars rover or the first Mars candy bar?
The first Mars candy bar.
You are correct, 1932, and the rover, 1997. Bowen, the first supercomputer or the first super pack?
Oh, the first supercomputer.
Yeah, that is correct, 1964. And the Supreme Court decision, Citizens United, which led to the super PACs, happened in 2010. Alisa, Air Jordans or the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Air Jordans, 1985. Fresh Prince, 1990. Alice, the launch of the Euro currency or Euro Disney?
Euro Disney.
You are correct. Euro Disney, 1992. Currency, 1999. All right, everyone's doing great. Nobody's in danger.
Okay.
Bowen, the blizzard of 1977 or the Dairy Queen blizzard?
Oh, the Dairy Queen blizzard.
I'm sorry, it's the blizzard of 1977.
Of course,
the
of
Dairy
course.
Queen blizzard was 1985.
Wow.
Alisa, the break-in at Watergate or Gatorade?
The break-in at Watergate.
I'm sorry, the answer is Gatorade, 1965. Watergate scandal, 1972. Alice, Saturday Night Live or Saturday Night Fever?
Saturday Night Live.
That is correct. 1975, Saturday Night Fever in 1977.
Mm.
Okay, we're at the halfway point, and Alice is in the lead. And Alisa, you cannot afford to get any more incorrect. Bowen, the elderflower liqueur Saint Germain or the Saint Bernard movie Beethoven?
Oh, this feels like a trick question. I'm gonna say Beethoven.
You are correct. Oh, Beethoven, wow. 1992. Saint Germain, 2007.
Yeah. Okay.
Elisa, Grey Poupon or The Picture of Dorian Gray by Oscar Wilde?
She's been getting the hard ones.
Grey Poupon.
That is correct. Grey Poupon, 1777. Dorian Gray, 1890. We love mustard. Alice, if you get this right, Elisa will be out. Alice, the first Ferris wheel or the first suitcase to have wheels?
First Ferris wheel.
That is correct. Ferris wheels, 1893. Suitcase, 1970. Okay, Elisa, you are not going to be able to catch up. You did amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bowen, if you miss this, Alice will win the game. Bowen, the Pink Floyd album, The Wall or Walmart?
Oh, The Wall.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Walmart, 1962, The Wall, 1979.
Wow.
That means, congratulations, Alice, you're a big winner. Our podcast drops each Friday. Listen and subscribe. Our guest musician is Julian Villard.
Hey, my name anagrams to Naive Doljar.
Our puzzles were written by Matt Foster, Andrew Kane, Sarah Lazarus, Carol Lee, and senior writer Karen Lurie, with additional material by Kara Weinberger and Emily Winter. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal. Ask Me Another's produced by Mike Katzeff, Travis Larchuk, Kiara Powell, Nancy Seychow, Ramel Wood, and our intern, Hannah Meyer-Katkin, along with Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. We are recorded by Damon Whittemore, Noriko Akabe, and Jeff O'Neill. We'd like to thank Anna Roisman.
And Inzaroma.
Our home in Brooklyn, New York, the Bell House.
Hot Heel Blues.
And our production partner, WNYC. I'm her ripe begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. Hey, happy to hear you're still listening. And since you're still here, why not pop over to Apple Podcasts and write us a review? We love to hear from you, and it helps others find out about our show. For additional information about new episodes, upcoming live shows, road shows, and bonus games, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Thanks. This is NPR.
Next time on Ask Me Another, we are in Houston, Texas, with Emmy and Tony Award-winning actor and singer Kristen Chenoweth. She recalls originating the role of Glinda in Broadway's Wicked and her newest album, For the Girls. Then we get her to belt it out in a game about musical titles. So join us on NPR's Ask Me Another, the answer to life's funnier questions.